Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us, a day that you have blessed us with, the privilege to praise you and to love you and to adore you, give all thanks unto you, to be able to open up the Word of God once again in your holy presence. Thankful for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher this morning of your holy living Word. Father, we continue on the subject of love. What a great subject it is. If we don't get this right, then nothing else is going to fall in line according to your written word. So I pray that you will open our minds, open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, that we may truly receive in every way that is needed the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so important. It is so demanding. It is a command that you have given your children. Man can love, but man can't love like this. So, Father, I pray, let us know what we have in Christ. Let us know how it is to be used. And again, thank you for a love that is higher than human love and way deeper. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, you'll notice the title as we begin this morning is The Love of God Confirmed. And let me add, The Love of God Confirmed by the Word of God. Well, let's begin defining the word love. We're talking about the love of God. It is a sacrificial love. It is an unconditional love because that's who He is. Well, there's three things we want to write down as we begin defining love. What is love? Number one, this is love given by God. So this love that we're talking about that comes from God is a grace gift. It is something that you are not born with. It is something you receive at the moment of salvation in Jesus Christ. In fact, the Scripture says that the love of God is poured in the heart of the believer in Jesus Christ. Secondly, this love is shaped by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So this love is shaped by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Because I do not have any enabling power on my own in reference to the shaping of this love. Thirdly, this love is the guiding principle of Christian living. This love, the love of God that is sacrificial and also unconditional, this love is the guiding principle of Christian living. So if you leave out the love of God in your life, you have no proper guiding principle in your life. And we're seeing this played out in the lives of just human beings that have no thought of Jesus Christ in their lives at all. And what a disaster it is. Now, I want you to pay close attention this morning. I hope that you have something to write with. I look at this as probably one of the most important messages that I can communicate unto you. And I pray that God give me the words that He wants me to say and wants us all to hear. And here we go under divine love. Love is to want. Underline the word want. Who makes you want the love of God to be demonstrated and communicated? It is the Holy Spirit Himself. He is the divine enabler of the love of God. So love, and this is the love of God, is to want the best for another. Love is to put yourself in the place of another, to feel their feelings. Walk in their shoes. Weep with their tears. Rejoice in their joys. Take upon yourself their burdens and give to them your life. Now, there's something I want you to write down. It may blow your mind, but you'll get over it. Here it is. What I have just read to you in reference to love, this is church membership. This is what makes up good, biblical, sacred, hard-hitting, lasting, perseverance, love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is church membership. It's more than walking down the aisle and saying to me, I want to join this church. My first question is, did God walk you down the aisle? Did God tell you He wanted you to join this particular church? If He did, then there is a reason and purpose behind your joining. So it's not just to walk and say, I'm a member of this church. When you join a church, a body of believers in Christ, you are making a commitment to every member of that particular body. You are making an investment in every person in that particular body. So what did I just read? I just read to you a definition, and there are many, but here's one that is very important, of what it means to have church membership. Well, here's a question. Does the Bible, the Word of the Living God, does the Bible teach that God is love? Yes, is the answer. If God is love, He must be the greatest love, and He must be the ultimate love. Now, I underline those words for you. If you are a believer, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, again, this love of God has been poured into your heart as a believer. So what do you have in you as a believer in Jesus Christ that you must have? It is the greatest love, and it is the ultimate love. You have that in you. In fact, every believer in Jesus Christ has within him and her a great love and an ultimate love. In fact, the greatest love and the most ultimate love. Do you believe God loves us? The answer is yes. Then what must love do? Love must, underline the word must, should be underlined already. Love must. The word must means something that is non-negotiable. There is no option here. Jesus is telling us there is something that must happen in our lives as believers. Love must put itself in the place of another. Number two. So what would be the greatest possible manifestation of love? That God would put Himself in the place of another. How would that actually manifest itself? What would be the greatest manifestation of love? God would have to put Himself in our place. Did He do that? Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, also went to the cross on Calvary. And He put Himself on the cross. And He paid our sin debt in full. And then by the power of God, He was raised from the dead. So when you talk about Jesus Christ, number one, He is God. He has no beginning. He has no end. He has always existed. And that is the one who loves us so much, He put Himself in our place. Let me tell you something. When you come to join Hainesville Baptist Church, are you ready to commit, to do, to make that commitment? To do what God would have you do? To build an intimate relationship with that woman or that man in Jesus Christ? Let's continue to read. Number two again. So what would be the greatest possible manifestation of love? That God would put Himself in the place of another. Number one, will you do that? If you say, I can't, then something's wrong with your Christianity. If you are really a biblical Christian, then God is living on the inside of you. And if God is living on the inside of you, then you can put what? Yourself in place of another. Why? Because God is in me. And if I yield to the living God that is in me, He will do that for me. He will put Himself in the place of another. How would that actually manifest? What would be the greatest manifestation of love? God would have to put Himself in our place. He would have to walk in our shoes. You want to be the kind of Christian that the Bible speaks about? Then learn to relate to other Christians in the body of Christ. Remember, when you are saved, you don't become a long ranger. You don't become a Christian that tries to live and function in this body of believers all by his or himself. Here we go. God would have to put Himself in our place, and He did. He would have to walk in our shoes, and He has. Feel our feelings. He's already done that. And cry our tears. He's done that also. And take upon Himself our burdens. He has done that. And our judgments. He has done that. And our death. He has done that. To save us. And He has done that. That's why you have the freedom to come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life, because Jesus put Himself on the cross. And I'll say it again, I never get tired of it. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full. We owe nothing. That's why you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Here we go. Back to the printout. He would have to walk in our shoes, and He did. Feel our feelings, and He does. And cry our tears, and take upon Himself our burdens and our judgment and our death to save us, to give us life. If you're a Christian, God gave you eternal life. Eternal life is a gift of Almighty God. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. He would give His life. He did give His life. Are you so intimate with your brother and sister in Christ that you're ready to give your life if necessary? That's what the love of God is all about. He would give His life. If God is love, that's what He would do. Point one. If God is love, then the greatest possible manifestation of love has already manifested on our planet. God has put Himself in our place. So there is no greater love you could ever know. When you feel it and when you don't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. Nothing you do can alter the love of God. No good work can increase it, and no sin can lessen it. When you feel it and when you don't, it's there nonetheless. We cannot change it. We can only receive it and be changed by it and be shaped by it. That's the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God in every believer. We can only let it change us. Notice, let it change us. For the greatest possible love has already been manifested. God has come down. It is only for us to receive it and to do likewise. Here's an application, and we are not done yet. Here's the application. Make a commitment today. What does God want from you? And what does God want from me? He wants you and He wants me to make a commitment to practice this divine love. Let me tell you something. If you think human love is good, you hadn't got to divine love yet. Divine love is awesome. There are no human words to describe it. The love of God is supreme. It is the greatest. It is the ultimate of love. Put yourself in the place of another. I tell you what, walking up to somebody that's got cancer or they're going through some kind of hardship or adversity, and you slap them on the back and say, brother, I'll pray for you. You're going to have to do more than that. You need to put yourself in their situation, in what's taking place in their life. and pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, either remove them or give them the power to stay in it. If He gives you the power to stay in that hardship and that trial, you know why? He wants you to learn more about God and more about yourself. He wants you to learn your weaknesses. He wants you to know your strengths. He wants you to know the love of the Heavenly Father. Brother, it can get noisy. You can be in the midst of a whirlwind, but your hand will never slip from the hand of Almighty God. That's your security in life, and that is your anchor in life. And what is coming down the road, and don't expect anything great from Joe Biden or the Democrats in Washington. I'm telling you, the safest place you can be and the most intimate place you need to be in is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need a family of God to belong to, because that's where your support is going to come from. It's not going to come from our government. Suck it up and get used to it. That is the way it is. Again, the government is trying to break the will of America. America has got to come back to God. America has got to come back to the Word of the living God. And if the preachers in the pulpit don't have guts enough to preach it, get them out. Amen. Thank you. Put yourself in the place of another. Your feet in their shoes. Your heart in their heart. Brother, here is further confirmation of church membership. I want you to turn to page 2. Top of page 2. John 15, 12 through 13. This is, underline the word is, and write again, non-negotiable. Who's talking here? Jesus Christ is talking. We better listen to it. This is non-negotiable. My refers to Jesus Christ. This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one. Can you imagine what a body of believers can be like when all believers are allowing the love of God, the greatest love, the most ultimate love, to take over their lives? And what are they going to do? Just what we're reading. This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. Now, I want you to write this note, just as I have loved you. Are you willing to give yourself sacrificially? Are you willing to give yourself sacrificially to your brother and sister in Jesus Christ? No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. I've got something in my notebook that you don't have. It's under John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. Please listen. Jesus said, once again, we'll reread verse 12. This is my precept, that you keep loving each other just as I did love you. Can you imagine what it would be like at Hainesville Baptist Church to love each other as God loves us? It's possible. It's possible. If it wasn't, He wouldn't have put it in the Bible, in Scripture. We wouldn't have it here. It's possible to do. We need to quit majoring on the impossible and start saying, God said I can do this and I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I desire to do it. I've been with the Holy Spirit this morning in Ephesians 5:18. I'll repeat it again. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled, motivated, divinely influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. He is your divine enabler. What does that mean? If He doesn't enable you, you can't get anything Christian done. Amen? Thank you. My precept. You might want to underline or write the word my, because I'm on my own here. My precept, the one that is mine, Jesus says, and distinct, it's not like man's, for all who are in me, Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? If you're saved, you're in Christ. And remember what we said the other Wednesday night? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, a curtain was rent. What was on the curtain? The cherubim. What has been guarding the Garden of Eden for so long? The cherubim. But the curtain was rent from top to bottom. So the cherubim were split. And what was Jesus saying? He's saying what was outside is now going to be taken inside. Brother, if you are in Jesus Christ, I'm taking you back in the Garden of Eden through the death, burial, and resurrection that I have conquered by the power of Almighty God. There are no cherubim to keep you out of nothing that pertains to God anymore. Keep loving each other just as I did love you. Listen to this. It means having the same insight. There's more than being a Christian than just walking down and say, I accept Christ. When you are saved and the Holy Spirit is given you at that moment, He goes to work in you. Jesus says this, this is my precept, that you keep loving each other. Keep on loving each other just as I did love you. And that means what? Having the insight of Jesus Christ. You say, I can't do that. I'm just a human being. I know you can't do it. That's why you got to have the Holy Spirit who is God. And He will give you godly insight in dealing with God's people. Amen? Thank you. It means having the same insight and intelligence. You don't have to be stupid. I can't cure stupid, but God can do a lot with it. It means having the same insight and intelligence, the same motive and the same purpose. The disciples are to be attached to each other. Wow. We may sit at different tables, but we are attached to one another. Devoted to each other. Helpful to each other. But there is more. To love as Jesus loved is to see what He sees. The soul's needs. S-O-U-L apostrophe S, needs. What are the needs of your soul that you and I need to know about in other people and ourselves? Number one, Bible study will refresh your soul. Worship is needed. That's a need of the soul. Fellowship, communion, quietness, focused minds, silence. You see, hard times can bring loud and overwhelming sounds inside you and out. So practice silence. Step away from the noise on the inside of you and the outside and spend time with the Heavenly Father. Your soul has needs. If you could take your soul out and look at it, would it be withered or would it be healthy looking? Because you have nourished it God's way. Now there's something else. To love as Jesus loved is to see what He sees, the soul's needs, and He has what? Then the eternal interest. What are eternal interests? Number one, a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't get that right, you're in bad shape and you're in a mess. Number two, eternal interest is eternal rewards. Number three, eternal interest is exercising your spiritual gifts, because exercising your spiritual gifts has eternal value and it creates a very intimate bond with each other in Jesus Christ. Well, let's read on. We are to have the same purpose and will toward our brethren that Jesus showed toward us. Let me tell you something, that takes a lot of work. And so if you're a lazy Christian, you're not going to get it. You don't want to get it. We got this entitlement stuff going on out in the world today, and you know what? It's crept into the church. I just want you to give me this stuff. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to put it on your plate. And I'll give you a fork and a spoon and a knife. Cut it up if you need to. But I can't. I can't chew it for you. You're going to have to put it in your mouth yourself. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to desire it. And if you're a child of the living God, the Holy Spirit is crying in you, I want it, I want it, I want it, I desire it. So let's go to work to get it. Are you getting it? Thank you. We ought to have the same purpose and will toward our brethren that Jesus showed toward us. Jesus was bent on one thing toward his disciples, to keep them in the Father's love, which is life and salvation. Listen to this. To further and advance them in God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. That's why you're saved by grace. All right? This is the love of God toward his own, which is different from the common love of men. And this love is to animate. Animate. Love is not some gooey. Mushy stuff, is it? Love is solid. Right? There you go. Love is not a feeling. Did you know in the Bible, love is a command? Because Jesus has commanded you and I to love. So it's a command. Somebody says, well, when I get that right feeling, I'm going to do it. Brother, you may wait until the day you die. It's not a feeling. It's not a big emotion. It's a command from the living God. And love, listen to this. This love animates. What is animate? It means to give motion to. To give motion to. It's the love of God in you that gives motion to you to move, to take care of your brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Well, if you'll note, there's an aorist in here. Listen, and I'll read it to you. Listen to what Jesus said. Keep loving one another just as I did love you during all my earthly contact with you. How long will we love each other? Till the day you die. As long as you're right here on planet Earth. Now, what I've just said to you, Satan wants to tear it up. And he'll do his best. In fact, he's out there waiting. Okay? But now you know what to do. You have the shield. Read Ephesians. It'll come to you. All right, back to page 2. Here we go. Under John 15, 12 through 13, it says, love one another as I have loved you. So love is the decision to compassionately, righteously, responsibly, and sacrificially seek the well-being of another. You can love people whom you may not necessarily like. Pray for me because I don't love Joe Biden. And it may take a lifetime and more. You can love people whom you may not necessarily like because love is not dependent on your what? Feelings. That's why Jesus can command you, listen to this, that's why Jesus can command you to love your enemies because love is a what? Command. Philippians 2, 5 and 9. Have. Underline the word have. The word have means have as your lifestyle. Have a life lived with understanding. A life yielded to the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a command again. Have this same attitude. Underline the word attitude. I got a question for you. How's your attitude today? How's your attitude today? Does it line up with Jesus Christ or with your natural tendencies and inclinations? Have this same attitude in yourselves. In. Which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. Who although he existed in the form that is the nature of God and unchanging essence of God as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, underline the word deity. When you see this word deity, brother, it refers to the King of the universe, the Lord of glory. The entire nature of deity did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted as if he did not already possess it. or was afraid of losing it, but emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He became completely human, but please get this one, but was without sin. Somebody says, well, Jesus must have had an old sin nature. He didn't have one. You know why? He didn't have a human father. You see, the old sin nature is passed down through the seed of man. Now, I'm going to say this again, because I'm asked this even by Catholics, confronted by them. Mother Mary. I said, well, before we get started on Mother Mary, let me ask you a question. Did Mother Mary have a human father? Yeah. Well, guess what? She had an old sin nature, and she was in need of being saved by Jesus Christ. I said, Mary's not holy. But they think, well, if I go to Mother Mary, there's no way that Jesus is going to turn away Mother Mary when I make a prayer request through her. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ is your high priest. Non-negotiable. Being fully God and fully man, after he was found in terms of his outward appearance of man, for a divinely appointed time, oh boy, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Here's the question. How do we adopt Christ's mindset? Well, Jesus could serve because he knew he was God. Service was never a threat to him because he never lost sight of who he was. He was never insecure in his identity. He knew his position with the Father. Similarly, when you know who you are, a saint and a son or daughter of God, rendering service won't be a problem. It's when you don't know who you are that serving becomes a problem. When you're unsure of your identity, you'll fear that serving is beneath you. You'll somehow be taken advantage of if you serve. Satan loves all of that. Jesus says, make the decision to love. Here we go. You may come across people tomorrow who might initially seem to be an interruption to your schedule. But if you say, wait a minute, here's an opportunity for me to love, you know what will happen? As you make that decision, there will be a change in your emotions. The Lord will meet you in that place, I guarantee it. Well, I tried to put all the food on your plate I could. Now it's time to eat. It's time for commitment. You want to make it? If Jesus Christ is really in you, he's wanting it. The Holy Spirit, God the Father. You can make it in the silence of your home. But brother, I ask you, sister, the way things are going, and the Bible says it's not going to change, Matthew chapter 24, things are going to get worse. And a family of God is going to become the most important thing in the lives of human beings. That's where you'll get truth, security, love, encouragement. Perseverance. It's going to take all of us pulling together. And we can do it. Because we are all yoked with Jesus Christ. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We pray that you will help us, because I know Satan's going to fight it and doesn't want it to happen. He doesn't want that commitment. But we do. Because we believe the Word of God. We need it. We need to demonstrate it. Communicate it. let people know there is something greater than our government. It's called the body of Christ. There's someone greater than our president, whoever he will be. It is Jesus Christ. He's the head. He's God. He's sovereign. And his agenda is being carried out as I speak. And nothing is going to stop it. Heavenly Father, may we pray today that tomorrow you'll put somebody in our path we need to talk to and share Christ with. We need to help in some way that we don't even know at the moment. Here we are. Here I am. Use me as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand.